If you don't care, stand for the honor of reading God's word. We're going to get right into the scripture this morning. We got one scripture that we're going to read as we start out, Matthew 6:21. It says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, this opportunity that you've given us, Lord. We're so thankful for your presence here this morning, Lord. We thank you for the drawing power of God that draw the ones to the altar this morning that were saved, God. And we pray that you would do the same thing this service, Lord. Help us, Lord, to pray for those that might be in need for whatever's going on in their life, God, that you will just speak peace to that, Lord. Father, allow us to find that joy. If some's that's here this morning that's lost the joy of thy salvation, Lord, I pray, God, that you would just anoint them this morning in a mighty way, Lord. We understand the strict judgment upon our life of rightly dividing your word, and we accept that place this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. So as we start this morning, we're going to talk about the value of the kingdom, or kingdom value, and how it is a treasure, and how it is something that we as individuals, I think we oftentimes don't think about it. I think we're appreciative of it, but sometimes our life doesn't show that, because sometimes we walk around with a frown, sometimes we are upset all the time, sometimes we're anxious all the time, but we really want to grasp this concept of how valuable the kingdom is. And as we talked in the last series about one king, one race, one priesthood, and one nation, what that really means and how valuable that is to so-called Christians when we talk about this treasure and this place that we call the kingdom of heaven, or heaven itself, and our personal salvation and walk with God. And we're going to, the first question I have for you this morning is, think about this. I thought about it preparing this week and praying God to be in the Word. But I thought about it, and the question that I have for it is what do you value most in this life? It's like, what do you value most in this life? I've had all week to think about it. I'll give you guys a couple seconds to really think about what do you value most in this life. Okay, and as I begin to think about this, I thought about when I was young, okay? And when I was young, I valued some things when I was young. One thing that I valued as being a teenager, a young man growing up, one thing I valued my friends. I valued the friendship and the friends that I had. I really, truly valued that. Something else that I valued in life was sports. I was a football player. I valued sports. I loved to compete. I love being a part of a team. I love, and you'll see where we're going here in just a second. You'll see how when you're young, the things you value, and then when you're old, the things that you value. Another thing that I valued food. Okay, as a teenage boy, I valued not just any food, but Fruity Pebbles. I valued Fruity Pebbles. I thought for sure, Nathan, I'd get an amen on that, okay? Fruity Pebbles. I value that. I loved to eat. Every time mom and them went to groceries, the first thing that I did is went where the cereal was at, because I was eating cereal for supper that night, okay? And when I was eating cereal, how long did it take me to eat a box of Fruity Pebbles? One setting, okay? I poured the whole thing in a bowl and just ate it. And I love that. And some of you, I also valued my Atari time. Oh, yeah. Frogger, Pac-Man. I valued my video game time. As a young man, those were things that I valued in my life. I still love to eat today, okay? Video games stress me out nowadays. I can't handle them anymore, okay? But I still love to eat. Let me show you this picture here, if you guys will bring it up. This is someone that is very, very famous. Let's see if you can recognize who this is. Very famous. Time, think. Very famous. Okay, play the audio if you don't care. That is. That's my mamaw. I value that voice. That's the last voicemail that I got from her before she passed away. She's famous. Why is she famous? Because she's my mamaw? No. I'll tell you why she's famous. She's famous because that is the first lady that set me down at her kitchen table with the burns on the floor where my papaw used to sit drinking his smoking his non-filtered Camels. I remember it vividly with the Sanka coffee. You remember the instant coffee, the orange, and remember it sitting on the table, sitting there. She was the first one that opened up the Bible to me to tell me about a treasure, to tell me about the value of a kingdom. So she's famous to me. This woman is famous. She's the first one, as I remember, as a young man, that I remember speaking life into me as we sat there and ate fried eggs and biscuits and gravy, and she would pop it open. And as a young man, guess what? I was worried about the food. I was worried about the food, but as time has passed over and over, I'll be 44 years old this year. As time has gone, as I look, there's things that I value in life that are much different than video games, that are much different than food. But I value my wife. I value my family. I value my kids. I value my church. I value salvation. And at the end of the day, when I think about the value of the kingdom, I value this notion in our mind that we all think and we dream about and we long for, that one day after a while, we as an individual is going to pass from this life and we're going to get to spend eternity in a place that we call the kingdom of heaven. And many times in our life, I think that we just say the kingdom of heaven, but we really don't hold on to how precious it really is, because my journey started a long time ago in a trailer sitting at a table when Mamaw told me about the kingdom of heaven, about God, about this man named Jesus, that she said he'd never leave you nor forsake you, but he'd always be there with you no matter what you had to go through. And my mamaw was notorious for randomly calling. And what I wouldn't do for just one more phone call, just to hear her sweet voice, to say, "Hey, do you remember when we used to sit there at the table?" Man, there's value. There's precious, it's a precious jewel, it's a treasure there this morning. And as we go through life, we have a mixture of all ages. As some of you teenagers and young ones that are in here this morning, you're thinking, "Man, is it 12:30 yet so we could go home?" I get it. It's all right. You're thinking, "Man, I need to get home and eat because I value that." But I promise you, as time goes on and on and on, when you become a middle-aged or when you become older than that, there are things in your life that you're going to realize that is more precious than food. Because every Sunday I get to sit at the king's table. I get to pull right up at the king's table and I get to feast, because he's laid everything out before me and said, "Feast on this great meal that I have for you." As you get older, those things kind of change. Your mind kind of changes. Your heart kind of changes. And you realize that life is like a vapor. It is here today and it is gone tomorrow. And a precious, I believe many of you could connect and say, "Man, I'd love to hear Mamaw or Papaw's voice just one more time. I'd love to hear Mommy or Daddy's voice just one more time." And as life goes on, those things aren't that precious really. But then when they're gone and past, you're thinking, "Man, I should have held on to that," because it is a precious jewel. It is a treasure. In Matthew 13 and 44, it says this, that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So we're going to discuss about two parables this morning about how two found a great treasure. One found a treasure in a field. The other gentleman found a precious pearl, a perfect pearl, because he was a pearl merchant. That's what he did. He went and looked for pearls. And what's so unique about these two different parables here, as we started, here was a man that was just in a field. And you may can relate to this morning. He was just in a field and he stumbled on a treasure. He wasn't there searching for it, but he stumbled on a treasure. It kind of reminds me of myself when I was in church. I really wasn't looking for Jesus, but I stumbled on a treasure. Because the kingdom of heaven, it is like a hidden treasure. It is something that sometimes you just stumble upon and think, man, that's the direction that I need to be going. That's who I need to give my life to. The parable speaks of this man as he discovered it, that he was willing to go because of how precious this treasure was that he found, as he uniquely stumbled upon it. It said that there was great joy that he went. It was funny, he hid it. He went, he left, he sold everything that he had. Think about that. How many of you all would be willing to give away everything that you have, sell all that you have for this precious treasure? Some of you all have some nice homes, some nice vehicles, probably a nice bank account, some nice clothes, some nice video games. How many of y'all would be willing to say, I'd give it all up to find this treasure, this value of what you call the kingdom of heaven? How many of y'all be willing to say, that would be me? Because at some point in your life, at some point as you walk through life, this is where we will get. As an individual, a young man, this is where I had to get. As I sat on the back of the church at a youth conference, as I sat there as an individual, that guess what? That was saved. I said I was saved. Hey, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I didn't understand really what it was, but I just done it because I knew it was the right thing to do when I was young in life. But then God seemed fit to meet me where I was at. I stumbled upon this treasure. And it's not about, guess what? You can be a member of Living Water Church. I could dunk you over here in the water. Pastor Grant could dunk you. Pastor BJ or anybody could dunk you. You can, guess what? You could even go through class 101 through 401 and be a grand slam disciple of Christ. And you can carry your certificate around, get your button and walk around. But that is not the ticket of you going to heaven. Just because you can quote scripture, that doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Just because your dad's dad's dad was a preacher, that doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Just because you're friends with the pastor doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Just because you're a member of Living Water Church, that doesn't mean you're going to heaven. You have to have a born-again experience with God when you were sitting there and you either stumbled upon it or you were searching for it and you were like, God, this is everything that I have always searched for or that I've always wanted, and now it's time for me to give up all of my pride and everything just for you. So are you an individual that'd be willing to do that this morning? Because two were last service. And you may be that very one. You're thinking, well, here's the mindset a lot of times. Let me get my life straightened up, and then I'll follow the Lord. Actually, that's backwards. Follow the Lord and let him straighten up your life. You think, well, there's a lot of bad things that I'm doing. Oh, you should hear some of the stories that I could tell about my own life. Let me sit and tell you about some testimonies of even people at this church. I've heard them from, I run to every bar, I done everything that I needed to do, and then God got a hold of me and he saved my soul. That's why I love our church. I don't care if you come from the western part of the United States, the eastern part, or mid-America. I don't care where you come from. You can come in here and get you a good dose of what the truth of the word is, and it doesn't matter if you're a drug head, if you're addicted to something. It doesn't matter if you're a drunkard. It doesn't matter if you have sinned in your life. That is so. You can walk in here and stumble upon a treasure and think, wow, Jesus really loves me. He really loves me. This is a treasure this morning. It's something that we need to value and we need to think about how it is. So as the odor that we get in this thing, and as we walk through it, we realize the value in this investment, the value of one king, the value of one priesthood, the value of one race, the value of one nation, and the value of this place that we're going to call home. There's value in that. It is precious. It is like a jewel. It is like stumbling upon something and saying, I'll give it all up just to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Are you willing to do that this morning? Are you willing to say, yes, I'll surrender everything that's in me? You may have a messed up lifestyle and you're thinking, man, I need to get that straightened up. Well, this morning you've come to the right place. Jesus will straighten every bit of that up for you. But he stumbled upon a treasure. And here's, you know, oftentimes, here's what we get comfortable in church. I've been one of those church people, okay? I've been one of those people that put on the suits, wear my tie chain, and go into church. And I've also even come in here and thinking, man, that seventh day I'll come to church because that's what I'm supposed to do. That's what I'm just supposed to do. That's what we do. You're a pastor, you're supposed to be here, right? Well, I looked at you, I was like, yeah, you're a child of God, you're supposed to be here too, right? We look at this, but we get so comfortable in this thing that I think that we forget about how precious this kingdom of heaven truly is, and how it is a jewel. And sometimes, you know, God told Jacob, he said, guess what? You need to go back to Bethel. You need to go back to Bethel. You need to go back to where it all began. And as individuals, as we're church-going people, and as individuals that are in here, sometimes we need to look at ourselves and say, it's time to go back to Bethel. It's time to go back to when that journey begun, whether it's back on a pew somewhere, whether it was in your car while you was going down the road, whether it was on an assembly line somewhere, by your bedside, with your parents, with your grandparents, wherever that was. You need to go back to that place and truly find the joy of thy salvation again, because we've got a lot of depressed, anxious people that we live around here in this life that I wouldn't know if you saved or not because of your countenance. Everything is bad. Everything is negative. But when you start thinking about the value of the kingdom, the treasure, go back to Bethel. Go back to the place where it all began. And when you can do that, all of a sudden there's something that just stirs inside of you. Can you remember that time when you first heard the voice of God? First heard the voice of God. Like, and some of you may be here this morning like, whoo, I'm hearing that right now. And God's drawing spirit and the Holy Spirit begins to tug at you. And you're just like, is that me? Guess what? Yeah, it's you. Yeah, it's you. And I love it because he breaks it down individually for every person. But we need to think about that as churchgoers. To be excited, to be ready to worship, to be ready to praise. So some of you here this morning, if I could encourage you, go back to Bethel. Go back to when you got saved. Go back to where your true joy lies, okay? If your marriage is falling apart, go back to Bethel. If your workplace is awful, go back to Bethel. If you're messed up with everything that's going on, because we know this world is crazy. Okay, what I suggest for you this morning, there's so many viruses going around, I'd get saved. Because it's serious. That's what I do. Okay? So if you run out of here, you may catch the corona, but guess what? At least you're saved. Okay? And I'm not taking that lightly at all, but I'm taking it serious because any one of us could die at any time. And salvation and our walk with Christ is more important than anything that we could have. I love my kids, but I love God more. God gave me a love for my kids. Okay? I love them. But there's something down on the inside of us that we have to value. We have to recognize the value, weigh the cost, and you're going to have to make a decision. You're going to truly have to make a decision. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven offers this. It offers deliverance. It offers refuge. It offers freedom from sin. That's what the kingdom of heaven offers. It offers all these. Can you imagine? You think, man, I'm just a sinner. Well, I am too, but I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. How many times do you repent, Pastor? Daily. Daily. Because we know how our kids can be. Okay? They bring out the beast in us. Okay? They just do. So daily sometimes. But when I do think about that, and I put it in perspective, I'm like, man, there is peace in Christ. There is truly peace in Christ. And I want to be the example for my kids and my family that I can show them that there is true value in this kingdom of heaven. My granny knew what she was doing. I didn't at the time. But as a 44-year-old man, I understand the value that she was trying to pour into me about this man called Jesus. Deliverance, refuge. There's freedom from sin. And are you willing to recognize that value? Are you willing to weigh the cost and make a decision this morning that I'm going to be a follower of Christ? It doesn't matter your age. You could be 5 years old or you could be 85 years old. I've seen him get saved at young, and I also seen a man get saved that couldn't bow down because his knees wouldn't allow him. And then he sat there and he said, "Can I pray standing up?" We said, "Sure you can." You know what he said after that? After he got done praying, he said, "I feel like the Tweety bird that's just been let out of a cage. Why did I wait so long? I'm 87 years old. Why did I wait so long to be a follower of Christ?" And I encourage you this morning, don't waste your whole life. Don't waste your whole life, because it can happen this very morning. Because the reality is this. Why is it so valuable? Because the King is coming. The King is coming. Jesus is coming back. Why is that so valuable? Because when I hear the last trumpet is sound, I'm already looking for him. And let me give you a heads up. There ain't no news station or no man out there knows when Jesus is coming back, okay? So when somebody says he's coming today, okay, I'm already looking. But nobody has a date. Not even the Son of Man knows when he's supposed to come back, but the Father who's on the throne. But he is coming back. And when he split the clouds, and when he comes back in the eastern skies, I'm not going to be running around worried. Because I got that business taken care of a long time ago. And this is the very morning that you could be a child of God and get that business taken care of as he draws you to an altar. As he draws you to an altar. So the first man here, he stumbled upon a treasure that he wasn't even looking for. It's pretty unique. The second man here, it says here in Matthew 13, 45 and 46. It says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it." This parable speaks of an experienced pearl merchant that knew exactly what he was looking for. Some of you have the experience of, "I stumbled up on that. God spoke to me. I wasn't expecting him to speak to me, but he spoke to me and I found a treasure." Some of you have the experience of, "I've searched this thing out in fear and trembling. Okay, I've searched it out. I'm looking. I'm trying to find the answers. I've read the Bible. I've heard people talk about Jesus." And then all of a sudden, in both experiences, God will meet you exactly where you are at. He'll meet you exactly where you're at. And if you've come in and stumbled on it this morning, or you've come in and searched on it this morning, he's meeting you right here this morning. And he's saying, "Guess what? I want to start this journey with you." He was actively seeking for that one great pearl. Have you come seeking this morning? Have you come seeking and thinking, "Man, this is really me"? Lady that just got saved, she said, "I thought I was saved for years. God saved me this morning." And I'm like, glory be to God. That's the honesty. That's giving up everything. When you think about it, that is giving up, that is selling all that you have to come to follow him. That's saying, "Hey, I went through all of the preparations. I've got my name on the roll. I've been dunked in the water," but still saying, "I'll sell all of that because I know God is speaking to me right now." And that may be you here this morning, because it was me. It was me. That's exactly what I had done. And then God spoke me and drawled me out exactly in the shape that I was in. Why is it so valuable? Because salvation is the most precious gift that you could ever get in this life. My mind's going to go. My body's going to fail. But there is something deep down inside of me that I don't hold on to it and keep it, but it keeps me. Christ said that you are in my hands and I am in the Father's hands, and no man can pluck you out. No man can pluck you out. I'm sealed. It carries me through this life. It carries me through the good times. It carries me through the bad times. It carries me through the mediocre times. It carries me through the times when I'm just a churchgoer. And it also carries me through the times when the Holy Spirit begins to draw us and begins to excite us a little bit, that we realize that, man, God is real, the kingdom is valuable, and I love him, and I'll be willing to do whatever that he would have me to do. So why is this valuable? Because it's real, and it's for eternity. It's real, and it's for eternity. And Jesus Christ is that treasure. He is that rare jewel. He is that Savior. He is that friend. He is that companion that's going to be. And some of you have went through some dark times in your life. But has God ever left you? He has been there every step of the way. From people mocking you to making fun of you to people leaving you. He's been there every step of the way. And that's what he does for his children because he loves them. This world doesn't see the value in salvation. This world sees the value in pleasures of worldly things, of having nice vehicles, of having big homes, of being a celebrity. These worlds will tell you that's where your joy will be. That's where the pleasures will be. But I'm going to tell you, like the Proverbs always tell, there's a time and seasons for all things. There's a time and seasons for all things. But then at the end of life, when I think, ooh, I'm a little kid, I can't wait to go to school. Okay, then what? Ooh, I get to go to middle school. Then what? Ooh, I get to go to high school. Then what? Ooh, I get to go to college. Then what? I get to get a job. Then what? I get to get married. Then what? I become old and retired, and I get to enjoy the rest of my life. And then I'm going to ask you a question, then what? Because my then what is, as I've seen the value in the kingdom of heaven, and I hope and pray that your then what will be, guess what? I'll get to go home to spend eternity with my Father in heaven. That's my then what. That's my end of the story. That's what's going to happen because I know that I know that I know that I know not that what John did, but what Christ did on the cross, and not just the cross, but his burial and resurrection from the grave is the reason that we're able to have this joy, this value that we can hold on, this treasure, this pearl that we hold so dearly to our hearts. That's the reason that we can do that because of everything Christ has done. Man. Man, Pastor, that's some great preaching. Amen. There's value in the kingdom of God. The world has nothing to offer you. It has nothing to offer you whatsoever. So both of these individuals here, let's think about that. So we've got an individual that was walking in a field that stumbled upon a treasure. That found great joy in it, that went and sold everything he had to buy that field because of that treasure. That was me. I wasn't searching. And then we've got an individual that is a seasoned, experienced pearl merchant that's what he looked for. And he was searching and he was digging. He was trying to find that perfect pearl. And when he did, it brought great joy to him. That he went, he sold all that he had to come and to purchase that perfect pearl. God will meet you exactly where you are. It doesn't matter where you are in life, but God will meet you exactly. Are you that first man? Are you that second man? You're saying, well, has this ever happened to anybody else throughout the Word of God? Well, listen to this. Paul liked to kill people like us. He liked to persecute Christians, and he was riding a horse, got knocked off the horse, and found a fortune. Okay? The woman at the well, she was going to the well because she's thirsty. You know what happened to her? She came home saved. She came home saved. Someone else, blind Bartimaeus, you know what? He just wanted to see. He was blind. He just wanted to see. You know what he got? He got salvation. He got salvation. Zacchaeus, somebody that was seeking, he'd heard about this man called Jesus, went to a sycamore tree, climbed his way to the top, looked and seen and said, that's Jesus, that's coming. He searched it out. Guess what? He was looking for it. He was looking for it. And bam, what happened? Chew. I'll come to your house today. Come on down, Zacchaeus. Come on down. Are you one of those individuals this morning? Are you one of those individuals that have just come to Living Water Church this morning and boom, you stumbled up on a great treasure? Are you the individual this morning that has been searching and trying to find the answers to this thing that we call the value of the kingdom, salvation, heaven, and eternity? Because either one of those places, you know what? God will meet you exactly where you're at. Let me show you something this morning. Okay, so I've got something in my pocket here. How many of you all, it's a check, by the way. How many of you all, okay, it's a $1 million check, actually. It really is. How many of you all, now be honest, if I said, here's this $1 million check, do you want it this morning? How many of you all, let me see, raise your hands, you take it. Okay. For those that didn't raise your hands, come to the altar now. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Because I'd take it. Somebody said, here's a $1 million check, I'd take it. And it is a $1 million check. Chris, I'm not lying to people. Look.
But it's yours.
It's a $1 million check. Who's it made to?
Whosoever will.
For whosoever will. Whew. Woo! It's a $1 million check. For whosoever will. It's a $1 million check. I'm not lying to anybody. Okay? $1 million. Man, it felt good to write that this morning. It's a $1 million check, isn't it? It's a $1 million check. It really is a $1 million. Has any of you all ever seen a $1 million check? Well, now that you have. Avery, don't believe me. It's a $1 million check, Avery.
I believe you.
Okay? It's a $1 million check. It is. Do you want it? Do you want it? Do you want it? Well, watch this. You can have a $1 million check, okay? Because what I'm going to give you, it's worth a $1 million times a $1 million times a $1 million. And not that I give you that, but I'm sharing it with you this morning that God will give that to you. I could tell you of a story about a man named Jesus, about how he came and he died and he said, guess what? He said, for whosoever will. He met me exactly where I was at. And he started with me a long time ago, okay, on a journey, sitting at a kitchen table with the burn stains in the linoleum floor, with Granny frying up some eggs, with some biscuits and gravy, with a sink of coffee sitting right there, and me enjoying every bit of it. He started that journey for me a long, long time ago. And how precious a jewel that it really is. There ain't no amount of money that anybody could give me in this life that I would ever take for that experience when God spoke to my heart. When Granny told me about Jesus, there is nothing in my life that I would ever, you couldn't write me a $100 million check. You couldn't do it. But the greatest thing about this whole journey through life, why did I end up in Mount Sterling, Kentucky? I have no idea. I fell in love. And I fell in love. I asked God to send me a wife. He sent me one. Okay? An Eastern Kentucky girl that I love. Okay? He said, well, you're going to have to follow me now. Okay? So I just followed her everywhere she went. And lo and behold, we end up in Mount Sterling, Kentucky. Right here. That journey started with me when I sat back there in the back row, holding on to the seat, telling everybody I was saved, telling everybody I was okay, being baptized, joined church, and all my journey started right then. You know why? Because all of a sudden, Jesus spoke to me. And he called me by name and he said, John, let me show you something. Why don't you take a journey with me? And it's going to be far more worth than a $1 million check. He said, I want to take you to Genesis and I'm going to let you walk through the garden for a little while. Because when we first get saved, man, we're so naive to everything. It's, woo, we're in the garden. And then sin hits. And then he said, guess what? You enjoy that time in the garden and now I'm going to walk you through the pages just a little bit more. We're going to go and we're going to walk through the lines then because we all know that the world we live in is like a pit of lines a lot of times. And he said, I'm gonna take you through that journey because I'm going to show you that what I've got for you is more worth more than that $1 million. Okay, but I told you I wouldn't live or leave you nor forsake you. And I'm going to walk through those trials of life. And many of us through our time after being saved has walked through some trials, haven't we? And then he said, it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. He said, I'm going to take you. I'm going to show you where the stone was rolled away. Okay? Satan thought he had defeated me, but I'm going to take you by the place. And he took me right through the Gospels. And he showed me the truth from his word from Genesis to Revelation. And I'll guarantee you there is no amount of money with an experience like that if you have that. The word, that treasure lies within the covers of this Bible. And it's so easy this morning. You may have stumbled on this. Well, guess what? Here you go. Here's your $1 million. Or you may have been searching all of your life, and this morning you realize, wow, that's me. Second service, we had someone that stumbled and found it. We had someone else searching and found it. This morning, where do you lie? Where is your treasure at? Where is your peace, your joy? Where's it at? Because what I wouldn't do, to hear Mama's voice just one more time. One more time. And you know, at this age, I wouldn't so much talk about how good the biscuits and gravy was. But boy, I'd say, Granny, thank you for being honest. Thank you for your telling me about this man called Jesus. And thank you for loving me enough to not care how I felt as a young man when you was telling me that things, but knowing that you needed to share this good news of the gospel with me. Where are you at this morning? Are you willing to sell everything you've got to come and find this treasure? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your Holy Spirit and for your drawing power of God. We know, God, that you're dealing with hearts this morning. Whether it's someone that needs to go back to Bethel to find the joy, whether it's someone that's lost that has stumbled up on this morning, or whether it's someone that has been searching and seeking and needing the answers, we know, God, that you will draw them to an altar where they could receive this wonderful gift. God, we ask you as a praise band would come this way that you would anoint them with powerful voices to sing praises unto you, and that you would individually knock on our hearts, Lord Father, and draw us to where you would have us to be, that we could glorify your holy name. God, I thank you for the journey. I thank you from Genesis to Revelation. And the treasure that we're going to hold dear to our heart is that one day you're coming to get your bride. And I'm so thankful that I can say that I know, that I know, that I know, that I know. We ask all these blessings and favor in Jesus' name. Amen.